One of the things that's true if you are a follower of Jesus Christ is that there may very well be a time in your life when you hit a dead end. You don't know which way to turn. It seems as though you have lost direction. It seems as though you have lost the divine wisdom that God gives on a daily basis. And you reach a point in your life, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a business venture, maybe it's a decision even in the church that you're faced with, and you just don't know what else to do. There isn't anything inside of you, there isn't anything in Scripture, there isn't anything coming to you through the wisdom of others that gives you instruction on how you should proceed. And when you reach that place in your life, there is a word from the Lord that comes to us, and it comes to us often. I like to read to you a single verse in Psalms chapter 27. And this verse says what many others in the Bible say, but I'd like to use this verse tonight. And I say all that to say we could use any number of verses to say what we're going to say. The Psalms chapter 27, verse 14 says to those who are at a crossroads and they do not know which way to turn, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, we've been talking about passages that have been twisted. And why bring this passage up? Why bring this phrase up in a series on passages that are often misapplied? And I think simply the reason why we bring this passage up is because this has become a cliche to many in Christianity. I mean, we throw this phrase around, and I'm not sure anybody knows what we mean. I mean, you're facing a difficult situation, and someone will say, you need to just wait on the Lord. And I don't know that I've always known what that meant. That people have said, you need to wait on the Lord, Nathan. I don't know. Does that mean I need to watch more TV and go to church less? Does that mean, what are you talking about? Wait on the Lord. Does that mean do absolutely nothing? Does that mean quit doing what I'm doing? What do you mean, wait on the Lord? And I think because of that, because the reason has become a cliche, that I'd like to talk to you about it and try to straighten it out, particularly what it means to wait on the Lord. And I'd like to talk to you about one thing it does not mean and three things that it does mean. And one of the things that we mean when we say wait upon the Lord, or when the Bible says you need to wait upon the Lord, one thing that it does not mean is that you need to be still and stop if the Lord has told you what you should be doing. Okay? Wait upon the Lord never means you've been given a command from the Lord. There's a command in Scripture. The Spirit has shown something to you directly and specifically that you need to be doing, but you don't want to do that, and so you say, I'm just going to wait on the Lord. There's a place in the book of Exodus, which is a passage that may be familiar to you if you watched the old movie, The Ten Commandments, because Charlton Heston does a great job delivering this line. I mean, he's out there, he's in the robe, he's at the Red Sea. There's Charlton Heston, and he delivers this line, but he stops short because people remember 14, Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, but they forget what God said to him in verse 15. So here's Moses, and you think of Charlton Heston here. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still. Synonym, wait on the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now that's wonderful, said right. I mean, and it's like, stand still, wait on the Lord. The Lord is going to deliver us. The Egyptians you shall see no more forever. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But people forget verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. See, Moses had some word from the Lord. And he's saying, stand still. We just need to stand still. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to let him do something. And the Lord says,
Moses, shut up, go, move. You've been told what to do, don't stand here, go. And sometimes that's what God is saying to you and I. We're standing here saying, I'm going to stand still, I'm going to wait on the Lord. And God is saying, no, I told you what to do. You have a word from the Lord. Move on the word from the Lord. Listen to me. If you are able to work and you have a job offer, don't stand still and wait for a job. You have a job. You have a command from the Lord that if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. Take the job. Stop waiting on the Lord. I mean, listen, don't come to the Lord with all of your marital problems and say, I don't know what to do with my marriage. I can't get my wife to like me. I don't understand that he's just a real dirtbag that I've married, and I'm just waiting on the Lord to fix all this problem. When you're not doing Ephesians 5, when you're not obeying the commands that the Lord has given you on how you ought to conduct yourself in the marriage. Listen, you have a word from the Lord. It's in the Bible. Now, if you get to the point and you've done everything that the Bible says you ought to be doing and you're still married to a dirtbag, you have to wait on the Lord to fix it. But if you have a word from the Lord, go do the word. I mean, listen to me. Sometimes in the church we sit around and we say, well, we just have to wait on the Lord. We don't know what we're going to do. We just have to wait on the Lord. Listen to me. Imagine that God had come to Moses at the burning bush. You don't have to imagine. He did come to Moses at the burning bush. And he comes to Moses and he says, Moses, I'm going to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage. I'm going to free them. And you can hear Moses under his breath perhaps saying, although it's not in the Bible, it's about time, they've been down there 400 years. And God said, and I'm going to bring them out of the land of their captives into the land flowing with milk and honey. And you can sense Moses saying in his spirit, it's about time, praise the Lord, I want to see this happen. And then the Lord says to Moses, and so I'm going to send you down there to bring them out. And Moses says, no, you can't do that. I can't talk. I stutter. I got a problem. You got the wrong person. Imagine when God tells Moses, and essentially what Moses is saying there is, I'm just going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. You go, you do, you work, O Lord, and I'm going to stand here and wait on you. But see, that's not the way it worked for Moses. He had a command from the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to go, I'm going to deliver them, but you're not going to stand and you're not going to wait. I'm sending you to go do it. See, listen, there are things that will never happen in Greenville unless you and I become co-laborers with God and do it. Praying is the lifeblood of the church. And we do far too little of it, and I doubt that any of us are praying as much as we could, and maybe as much as we should. But having said that, we have to go, and we have to do what God's calling us to do. We have to rise up out of the prayer closet, and we have to follow the commands, the visions that He has given us, because there are things that will never happen in this town unless you and I become co-workers together with God. So, when the Bible says, you need to wait on the Lord. It's not talking to you and I who already have a word. Maybe it's coming from the Bible and we're not doing what the Lord has told us to do. Listen, if you have financial situation in your life, the Bible says, bring your tithe to the storehouse and see if God won't pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Now, don't wait on the Lord to send the money if you're not bringing your tithe to the storehouse. You have a word from the Lord. You have a word from the Lord. He says that if you will give Him what is due to Him, that He will bless you far beyond what you can contain. So don't wait on the Lord. Do what He's told you to do. Go, O Moses, go. But having said that, there are days and there are times, there are periods in your life when you don't have a word from the Lord. Someone told me once, and I think that they're true, they said it with a lifetime of experience. They said, you haven't reached bottom yet until your theology won't work. And there's a lot of truth to that. You haven't reached bottom yet till
You've done all that the Bible says you should be doing, and it still doesn't seem to be working. You've followed every commandment that you are aware of, but it still doesn't seem to be coming together in your life. There are times in your life when you have done all that you know to do, when you've done all the Lord has commanded you to do, you have consulted with the elders, you've talked to people who are wiser than you, and you've listened, and you've applied what they're saying, but it's still not working in your life. And at that time, the Bible says you need to wait on the Lord. You need to wait upon your Lord. You need to, first of all, stand still. You need to be obedient, and you need to be hopeful. And that's what waiting on the Lord means. First of all, to wait on the Lord means that you are going to stand still and not do anything. I think the echo of this phrase, to wait upon the Lord, there's a shadow that falls from Psalm 46:10 where it says, be still and know the Lord. Know the Lord. Say it for me, Dale. Know the Lord. Know my God. Okay. Sorry, it's tired. I'm tired. I knew that. Be still and know that I am God. There are times, and when you wait upon the Lord, part of waiting upon the Lord is simply to stand still and not to touch the situation that you're in. Okay? Victor Hugo talked about the man in quicksand, right? And the problem with being in quicksand is that anything you do to try to get out of quicksand puts you deeper in quicksand. I mean, you're going down, but anything you do to try to help yourself only accelerates the problem. You sink quicker when you're in quicksand. And sometimes life is like that. There are times in relationships when there is absolutely nothing that you can do in that relationship, and the only thing that you can do is nothing. You have to be still. You simply have to be still. I have a friend who's a Nazarene evangelist, and he's very good at what he does, but he lived a life that was far from the Lord, and he was selling drugs at one point in his life, and his wife was with him, and they made a lot of money, but they lost all of their money, and he was sort of being hunted for his life. He made a lot of the wrong people mad, but anyway, their life just sort of blew up, and he and his wife separated. He didn't know where she was. He was living in a shelter at that time. He was homeless. Everything's gone. He finds God. He gives his life to Christ. And the first thing that he wants to do is find his wife and put his marriage all back together. And he said it's as though the Lord spoke to him as forcefully as he could and said, Kenny, leave it alone. Be still. Be still. If you find her, you're only going to make it worse. You're separated. Leave it alone. If you'll serve me, if you won't touch this, if you won't try to contact her, if you won't try to in any way influence her to come back, if you'll just leave it alone, I'll bring her back to you. And he said he was sitting in a diner several months after he came to Christ, and as though the Lord said to him, Kenny, look up. And he looked up, and there was his wife. And she saw him, and they hadn't seen each other for months. He had been homeless in the shelter she had been. He didn't know where. She came over to him, and she said, Kenny, the most amazing thing happened to me a few weeks ago. I met Jesus Christ, and I became a Christian. And he said, what was he doing? He was being still. And while he wasn't doing anything, Jesus Christ was working in his wife's life to bring her to a point of salvation. And when she had found Christ, God brought them both together, and they have been happily married for now 2 decades since that happened. See, sometimes there's nothing you can do with that relationship. There's just nothing you can do. It's gone too far. Kenny preaches a lot in missions, and he said one of the things you tell people when you're preaching to a lot of homeless people in missions, most of them are there because of drug issues, but they're also there because they burned all their bridges. He said, so the first night I make everybody mad when I preach in a mission. He said, I tell them, listen, I don't want anybody coming up to me at any point while I'm here and asking me to call their family and tell them that you've changed. Don't say that. You've burned your bridges. The only reason you're homeless and in this place tonight is that nobody wants to hear from you.
They want to hear that. They don't want me to tell them that you have changed. They don't want to hear that. They want to find out over a period of several years that you are indeed a different person, and then maybe you can go home to them. See, oftentimes when we hurt people and we abuse people and we take from people and we steal from people and we break their heart time in and time out and time in and time out, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Even though you have found Jesus, even though you're right with Jesus, even though you want to tell everybody about Jesus, you have to stand still. You have to allow God to work in that situation. You're only going to make it worse. They've heard you say a dozen times, I'm a new person, I'm a changed person. And every time you have failed them, you can't say it again to them. You're going to have to show them over a period of time that you're different, and you're going to have to allow God to work in their hearts and minds. Yet stand still. Sometimes with your children, you have to stand still. I mean, imagine, and I don't know what would have happened if the father of the prodigal son would have gone and chased him down in the far country. I don't know why he didn't, other than that the father, which was God there, knew that perhaps it would not make any difference till his son hit bottom. I don't know why the father stands on the porch and lets his son lose everything, but I do know that there are children that will never get straightened out till you let them reach the pig pen. It's going to take the pig pen to straighten them out. And as long as you're interacting, and as long as you're bailing them out, and as long as you're giving them finances, and as long as you're supporting them and keeping them out of the pig pen, they're never going to come home straight. They've got to have the pig pen experience. They're going to have to lose everything. And sometimes all you can do is stand on the porch like the father did. You just have to be still. Now, that isn't the true of every child. And if the Lord is telling you to go and to bail them out and to give them your money and to support them, you do what the Lord has told you to do. But if the Lord hasn't told you to spend some more money on them and bail them out of jail, don't do it. You don't have a word from the Lord on that. Sometimes you just have to be still. There's nothing I can do but make it worse. If I give any more, all they're going to do is become more of a taker than they already are. Sometimes all you can do is just be still. Just take your hands off of that situation. That's one of the things that it means to wait upon the Lord. That's one of the things that that means. Secondly, not only are we called to just be still and let the Lord work in that situation, but we are called to wait obediently. We're called to wait obediently. It's interesting. It says, wait upon the Lord. And secondly, be of good courage. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage is actually in the Hebrew one word. We have be of good courage, but it's actually one word in the Hebrew. And it's usually translated harden your heart. In fact, when Pharaoh refuses to let the children of Israel leave Egypt, it says 13 times that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And all 13 times, that's the Hebrew word that was used. And so essentially what it means, I think, to wait upon the Lord is you need to be still. Let him do it. Don't get in his way. Be still. He hasn't told you what to do, so let him work. Again, we talked about that some this morning. Vengeance is like that. See, you can't get vengeance. You really can't. What are you going to do? Shoot somebody and go to jail? Most of the times that you want to get vengeance, you can't get vengeance. And what, again, with the vengeance, God says, be still. The Lord will repay. Give room to the Lord. Be still. Get out of that. Let the Lord work in that. So not only are we talking about being still, but we're talking about hardening yourself or being obedient. See, one of the things that happens when you're at a place where you don't know what to do, and maybe it's a child, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your job situation, or whatever situation you find yourself. One of the things that happens is that you're tempted to be disobedient. You're tempted to walk away from the Lord because in your mind, you're saying, you know what? I've tried everything. I've done it God's way. It hasn't worked. Look at the situation I'm in. And you're tempted not to harden yourself or to stand firm in what you already know you should be doing. I mean, listen, if you're single and you're at a certain age. I mean, it's tempting to say to yourself, listen, I've gone to church. I've been a good person. I've been a good girl. I would make somebody a wonderful wife. But look what good it's done for me. All the church stuff, all the fine religion stuff. I've been a good person. I've kept myself pure. I would be a wonderful Christian wife. But there's nobody. The Lord hasn't sent me anybody. I mean, the only people who are getting married are the girls hanging out on the bars Friday night. I'm sitting on a church pew Sunday morning. I can't find a man. Everybody who hangs out in the bar, they're getting married this summer. So you're tempted to say, you know, what good is it to be obedient? And what happens is, instead of hardening yourself and saying, listen, I'm going to stand on what I know. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be of good courage. You start to find yourself sort of leaving your commitment to God. I mean, it's easy to say, I raised my kids in church. I mean, I had my kids in everything. Vacation Bible school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I had them there. I raised them like God told me to raise them. And look at them. They won't darken the church door. Look at the way that they're living. They're living an ungodly life. I did everything the Bible said I should have done. And look what happened with them. There's a part of you that says, what good is it to pray? What good is it to go to church? I mean, what good is it to live this life? And when you're standing there and you don't have the answers and you don't know what you should do and you've reached that point and there's no way forward, there's a part of you that stops being obedient, or you're tempted to be disobedient. And at that time, you've got to harden your heart. You've got to harden not your heart, you've got to harden yourself. You've got to harden your resolve in that situation. John Newton we talked about John Newton last week. He wrote Amazing Grace. He was a fine Christian man, a giant in the faith. When you read him, he says things like Daryl Savine would say them, right? He says them where you don't have to understand. He says them very clearly. But one guy came up to him and he said, you know what? I've been reading my Bible. I've been going to church. I've been praying and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening in my life. And John Newton said, well, I'll tell you one thing. Nothing's going to happen if you stop praying and reading your Bible and going to church. See, what Newton is saying is right. There's a part of you that says, I can't see. I'm at a dead end. There's nothing going on in my life. But listen, nothing's going to happen if you quit. There's nothing that's going to happen if you stop reading your Bible, if you stop praying, if you stop going to church. Nothing's going to happen. And you have to harden yourself. You have to harden your resolve and say, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be of good courage. I don't know the way. I don't see the path ahead. But I am going to hold the ground that I have got. I'm going to be obedient. John Knox won Scotland for Christ. In his late 40s, early 50s, John Knox led one of the great revivals in the history of the world. John Knox went to Scotland, and he did a massive moving. There was a massive moving of the Holy Spirit through his life and through his ministry. And Scotland turned to Christ largely because of the ministry of John Knox in his later 40s, early 50s. But in his 30s, he went through a very dry period in his life. He never left God. He was always committed to the faith. He was always a godly person. But in his diaries in his 30s, he talks about a dryness that came over him. And it just felt like God was far from him. And he wrote in one of his diaries, he talked about the fire being out in his heart. And he says, essentially, and this is my paraphrasing, he said, I don't know if the Lord's going to ignite me again. He said, but whether or not he ignites me again, I know this, I will hold the ground I've been given. I'll hold the ground I've been given.
And of course, he got through that dry spell. And 10 years later, the Lord used him to win an entire nation to himself. But sometimes you have to make that resolve, and I have to. We have to say, I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm doing all that I know that the Bible says I should be doing. I'm doing all that I know that I believe the Spirit is leading me to do. But it's not working right now. But I'm going to hold the ground I've got. I'm going to hold the ground I've got. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit going to church. I'm not going to quit fellowshipping with the saints. I'm not going to quit worshiping. I'm not going to quit singing. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to hold what I've got. And if he ignites me again, he ignites me. If he doesn't, I'm still going to hold the ground I've got today. So waiting upon the Lord is taking your hands off of it. If you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Give it to the Lord. Waiting upon the Lord is being obedient. It is hardening your resolve and saying, I am not going to be moved by this situation to take it into my own hands and become disobedient. I'm not going to try to fix this through being disobedient to God. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to hold the ground. And thirdly, waiting upon the Lord means to be hopeful, expecting the Lord to move in your situation. It's interesting here, this word, wait upon the Lord, the word for wait. In the Hebrew, it's a very colorful word. And it's used in a lot of different arenas. One way that the word wait is used here is to ambush. Oftentimes, the connotation in the Bible when somebody is waiting here, it's the word kava in the Greek. They are hiding in the bushes to ambush somebody. And in fact, that's how it's used in Job chapter 6, where the armies of Tema waited for the armies of Sheba. And what the picture of that is simply is this, that when you wait upon the Lord, in some ways you're like a thief. You're waiting in the bushes, waiting for somebody to come along to ambush. I mean, if you're I've never been a thief in a bush, but I think that if you're a thief in a bush, there's an optimism. You're hopeful. You're waiting for them to come down the road, down the street, so you can get all their money from them. And there's an optimism. And in one sense, when you wait upon the Lord, you're saying, I'm going to stand still. I'm going to hold my ground. And the Lord is coming by, and I'm going to get them. The Lord's coming by. The word wait also is a word that is used in the agricultural sphere. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about the Lord sowing a vineyard, and he puts a tower up, and he's got the seed in the ground, he's got everything ready for the harvest, and then it says he sits back and he waits for the harvest. He sits and he watches the harvest, and you can see the farmer. And he's got everything planted. He's got everything prepared for the harvest. And then what does he do? He sits back and he waits expectantly for the fruit to come out of the ground. It's also a military word. In Habakkuk chapter 2, it talks about waiting upon the Lord. And in the context of Habakkuk chapter 2, there's a place in verse 2 of chapter 2 where the armies of Babylon are going to invade. And the prophet says, this is what I'll do. When the armies of Babylon invade and they surround the city, I'm going to go up to the highest ramparts. And I'm going to look off into the distance. And I am going to wait upon the Lord. And the picture is that the armies are invading. The armies are around the city. But if you get to the highest point, if you get to the highest pinnacle in the city, you can look off in the distance, and while the army is invading you, while they're around the city, you can see far enough to see the armies coming to relieve the city and to bring deliverance. And in that sense, you look expectantly. You may be surrounded. There may be an army around you, but you wait on the Lord. You look expectantly. Habakkuk is saying, I get to the highest place, and I look so I can see redemption coming from the hills. And that's what it means to wait upon the Lord. Not only are you still, not only are you obedient, but you are optimistic. You are waiting upon the Lord. You are looking expectantly, hopefully preparing for his deliverance in your situation. Notice what he says. If you will wait upon the Lord, He will give you strength. Notice that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May not deliver you out of it right now. He'll deliver you from it someday. He may not deliver you from it right now, but even now he will strengthen you. He will give you what you need to stay where you're at and to be of good courage. Remember that passage in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31? They who wait upon the Lord, how does it go? Shall renew their strength. They'll renew their strength. If you wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not grow weary. You shall walk and not faint. Doesn't say that everything will be perfect. But he says if you wait upon the Lord, he'll give you strength. He'll help you where you're at if you wait. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you don't know which way to go. You honestly don't. There's a family situation. There's a situation with your kids. There's a financial situation. There's a decision that lies ahead. Maybe there's something going on in your business. And you've done everything the Bible tells you to do, and you've done everything God's told you to do through his Spirit. And you still don't know what to do. Your theology isn't working. The Lord says to you tonight, I think, wait on me. If you don't know what to do, take your hands off of it. If you've done everything God's told you to do, let him do the rest. Take your hands off of it. Hold the ground you've been given. Don't allow Satan to tempt you into disobedience. Hold the ground. Be obedient and wait expectantly for him to move in your life. And in the meantime, he will strengthen you where you're at so that you can mount on the wings of eagles. You might run and not grow weary. You might just have to walk and not faint. So three different places in your life. Hopefully, he'll strengthen you. And you'll mount his wings. You'll get a fresh wind. Maybe you'll run and you'll have endurance in this situation. Maybe you just have to take one heavy step, but he keeps you from falling. But if you'll wait on him, he'll strengthen you in your situation. Will you stand with me? Father, life finds us in places we never dreamed that we would be. You see the future and you know all things, but we start out in life oftentimes hopeful and optimistic, and we have all the answers, and we find ourselves in places where we don't have any of the answers. We've done all that we can do for our children. We don't know what else to do. We've done all that we know to do to fix our marriage, and it's still broken. Financially, we've done what the Bible said that we should do, and it's very tough. Help us, Lord, to wait on you. Help us, Lord, to wait. Help us, Lord, to trust this thing in your hands, to take our hands off of it and let you have it. Help us, Lord, to hold the ground we've got. And to not allow Satan to use this to tempt us into disobedience. Help us, Lord, to maintain optimism. And to trust you to, in your time, in your way, to bring deliverance in our situation. Till that day comes, will you strengthen those who are weak? Will you carry those who are about to faint? Will you give a fresh wind to those who are tired of being in limbo and carry them to a glorious future? In the name of Christ Jesus, we ask it. Amen.